That couple right behind you, they're not strange, but they're from Washington. And they're from somewhere like around the Onalaska area. I'm sure you know where that is. Yeah, we since they got here, we forgave them for being from Onalaska, but nevertheless, that's who was praying for you. Praise God. This morning in the book of Philippians, I'll let you find the second chapter. And once you're there, we'll proceed forward. I don't know, have you noticed, I tell Don and I kind of think we see this, but are you noticing or sensing something just a little bit like a change from summer to fall yet? Are you changing it just kind of maybe the way the sun is kind of positioned or positioned itself? I don't know how that works. But it won't be long. You better absorb all the vitamin D you can because it's going to change. I love this story. It's when Harry Truman became president. He worried about losing touch with common people, everyday Americans. So he would often go out and be among them. And those were in the simpler days when the president could talk to people. He could go and visit, walk through parks, etc., on his own. One evening, Truman decided to stroll down the Memorial Bridge on the Potomac River. When there, he became curious about the mechanism that was used to raise and lower the middle span of the bridge. He made his way across the catwalks and through the inner workings of the bridge, and suddenly he came upon a bridge tender eating his evening supper out of a bucket tin. The man showed abundantly no surprise when he looked up and he saw the best known and most powerful man in the world. He just swallowed his food, he's wiped his mouth, and he smiled and he said, "You know, Mr. President, I was just thinking about you. And then I thought, how would this fit us this morning? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would suddenly appear in the clouds? Wouldn't that be amazing? And we could say, Lord, I was just thinking about you. Wouldn't that work just fine? And you know, the truth is, our mind ought to be on him daily. The Bible says that we are to watch for his appearing, for his coming soon. Amen? I want to minister this morning out of Philippians. And before I do, I don't know, years and years and years ago, I can't tell you how this comes, but an illustration about Mrs. Smith decided to have a portrait done. And Don and I have been thinking about getting some pictures done. So Mrs. Smith decided to have this portrait. So she called for the artist. And she said to the artist, she said, "I want you to paint me." And she says, "I want you to paint me with huge diamond earrings, a striking diamond necklace, and a dazzling emerald bracelet on both my arms. I want you to paint me with a massive ruby pendant, even right here." The artist stopped just for a minute and said, "Wow." "Wait," said the artist, you're not wearing any jewelry." Mrs. Smith said, "I know. You see, in case when I die," she says, when I die, "I know that my husband is going to remarry, and I want his wife to go crazy looking for my jewelry." I think when we look at heaven as a life portrait, here's how I want to be found. I want to be found not with some fake things. I want to be found with everything genuine that the Lord has placed in my life and in my heart. How about you? Amen? I mean, I don't need any fake jewelry. I don't need any fake penance. I just want to be found just like I was. In fact, the Bible says, many people ask, will we be known in heaven? And the scripture says, yes, for we will be known as we were known. Isn't that amazing? Kind of turn and look at one another. How do you know them? Turn and look. Come on, you can. How do you know them? I have an opinion. I believe there will be more hair in heaven. I believe the ages will be probably similar, a little bit more like in a perfect slot pattern period. Maybe wrong. So it's not that we will be looking at certain physical things alone, but how will we be known? Think about that. Will we be known as someone who cared and loved? Someone that was gracious and forgiving? Maybe that mercy flowed from that person? Someone that we loved to be around because the joy just overflowed constantly from their life? Is it that we will be known that way, how we were known on earth? Unfortunately, it could be the opposite too. Have you ever been around some people you don't really like to continue to be around them because of the way they talk, their attitude, their disposition, the things they do, the way they speak and draw everybody into conversation in ways that are so critical? I don't think that's how I want to be known. I want to be known in how the Lord has built me and made me in His precious power, in the power of His Spirit. Isn't that true? Amen. Hey, I'd like my whiteboard to be turned around. Shane, just you need to be able to still see up here, but turn that whiteboard around. No, I don't mean around. Turn it sideways. Just 45 it kind of. Keep going. Keep going right there. Can you all see that? Well, if I put it out here, you won't see me. If I put it there, you won't see Shane. We'll leave it there. My wife and I were having devotions a couple of days ago. And sometimes we like to have devotion in bed, just kind of prop ourselves up, and we will read there. She'll read Jesus Calling. I'll read from the Bible. We'll start to pray. And that's where we pray. We spend time praying together. As we were reading, I found my way to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 2. By the way, what's up there is not Philippians 2. But I was reading in Philippians 2. Let me begin reading at this part. Verse 7 says, "But Jesus," I put Jesus there, "made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross." If I could go back just a little bit and come back to verse 7 again. As I've looked at it since then, he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The Bible is telling us that in Jesus, things kind of were poured out of him. He left something, and he was found in a somewhat of a different form. I don't think it was a different form as God. I believe that Jesus has always been God, the second person of the Godhead. I believe he's always been deity. There's no doubt in my mind. When I go to the 17th chapter of the book of John, I find Jesus in that marvelous prayer where he prays for the church, and he prays to the Father, and he's talking to the Father, and he speaks to them about those that the Father has given him. But he says this. He says, "Father," he says, "bring back to me and renew to me the glory that we once had." And I'm thinking that possibly the glory that he and the Father knew and had, that was one of the things that maybe he had to lay down in order to be able to walk on planet Earth in a way where he could be the Son of God. I don't believe for one minute he ever lost his deity. I believe that all the power of heaven was still at his disposal. But this is what I also believe, is that maybe the glory as we would have known him was not there. And you might say, well, what do you mean? God, Jesus, or Jesus the Son had no glory. I'm not saying he didn't have glory. I'm saying that he never had the glory that he had at the throne of his Father. One thing that's very amazing to me is, think about this, the night that Jesus was betrayed. And consider that when he stood in the midst of all this uproar, and now all of these police and soldiers and these different ones that had come with the Sanhedrin and the 12 disciples and maybe others that had followed the mayhem all the way into the Garden of Gethsemane. Isn't it interesting that Judas had to say this? He had to say this, that the one that I kiss, that is he. That is the one that you take. And why would that be? It's obvious because they would not have recognized him. And Jesus was just like one. He was with his disciples. And he was also, the Bible says that Jesus is fully God and fully man. How many believe that? That is a mystery that he can be fully God and fully man. When you think about his deity encompasses the fact that he is fully God and fully man. And yet when he was at that point, I think that there was something very interesting. They couldn't have gone into that Garden of Gethsemane and saw a light, or they didn't, I should say, and see a light that was formed, and they said, that's got to be him. That's him, because he's got that light. Yes, he is. Jesus told us he's the light of the world, but he was not saying literally he's the light in that fashion. He was saying that if you look towards me and know me, you'll discover your path will be enlightened, and you will know that I am the light, the only true light of the world. I'm talking about in a physical sense, he was just like Peter, just like John and Andrew. Why? Because he was fully man. And this is why I think Judas had to kiss him in order to say, I'm not going to kiss anybody else there, because they all look, they're all men. There's 12 disciples or 11 other disciples and Jesus. I'll kiss him and you'll know that it's he. So when I began to read this, and I find this how interesting it is. It says in verse 6, I should have read to you, being in the form of God, he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. So there were some things that Jesus, in a form sense, we can't see on earth, but I believe it's all been reinstated by the throne today. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So the other day in my devotions, personally, that morning, I'm looking through this and I'm starting to read and how amazing this is to me. And then it says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So he humbled himself and took on the form of a man. I think, I don't know how you feel, but I think wherever Jesus walked within heaven, all authority who had been given him was there. And I think all of heaven, not that they ever required the angels to bow or the creatures that would sing and cry out from the throne of God, holy, holy, holy. But the truth of the matter is that wherever Jesus went, there was such a form of love and ministry and respect as the king. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Was there one amen? And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, so I began to feel a strong grab in my spirit on that morning. Here it is. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is that amazing or what? I was reading this and I thought how this, it just makes me understand this story even further in Philippians. There was a man, his name is Richard Buies. buoys. And he was working for the British Broadcasting Company. And he had been working with hosting a recorded program. And he took the recording and he brought it in his attaché case and he jumped on the train. And as he got on the train, it went the destination that he went, and he got off the train. And as he got off the train, he realized that what had happened is that this recorded program that he had of the British Broadcasting Corporation, he had left it in his briefcase, and the train had left. And it was gone. And the briefcase is where he was sitting. And so with distraught, he entered into the station master's office. And he asked, he says, "If my briefcase has, if there's any possibility, can you return it to me on the next train?" The man says, "Yes, as I can, but it'll only return to you in 3 days." 3 days? He says, "Oh, please." He says, "Inside the briefcase is a recording of the British Broadcasting, and he says it's got to go on the air absolutely as soon as I can get this briefcase to them tomorrow." And this is a true story. The man took his pencil and the piece of paper that he was going to put a name and a subject and what was, so that the trains would catch up with it, and 3 days later it would be back to this station. He took the pencil and he took the paper, and he laid it down, and he says, "BBC, huh? Well, we'll have your briefcase back within an hour, sir." That's all it took. What did it take? It took this word, B, or three letters, acronym BBC. And they had his briefcase back within an hour. I think that's what we can understand when I read this in Philippians. Verse 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and gave him a name." It's obvious that in Britain, when they heard BBC, it was like everybody was ready to stand at attention. It's a name we not only recognize, but there is strength and ability and power. Our name, the BBC, are you kidding me? We function because of those acronyms, British Broadcasting Company. And I think this is kind of what God is saying to us this morning as the church. What do we function with? How do we stand in any form of authority? How do we have any ability to move forward in our lives with any assurance that God is with us and we can see the victories that we have need of? It's because of a name. It's because of a name that's higher than any other name. Can you say amen? Amen. Verse 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." I have a conviction this morning that if the 18-wheelers stopped running and the electricity was gone, I have a conviction this morning that if you and I are absolutely have no ability to go any further with driven vehicles, if we are wondering the way we feel, is there something wrong within my body? Is there a disease or a sickness I'm getting? I want to tell you, I believe this morning that there is one name that is higher than any other name, and that name is Jesus. And he is more powerful than the trucks that go over Snoqualmie Pass to the inland northwest. He is more powerful this morning than anything in your medicine cabinet that you can take for your body. He is more powerful this morning than anything lost, anything you don't know of, anything you can't put together, anything of fear and anxiety. That name is above every other name. Do you understand that? And I say to you this morning, when you and I consider this, he made himself of no reputation. He came and began to walk as a man on this planet, God and man. I mean, come on, be honest and think about this. Because he was God, he could have exhaled, and he could have blew Jerusalem off the map. He could think it, and there were 12 legions of angels standing at attention because of his want and need. But see, I think in prerogative, he left some things left to his Father's will. And that's why you see Jesus constantly in prayer, always seeking the Lord, his Father, constantly knowing who to bring on as disciples, where to go the next day, what to do, and how to meet the needs and the challenges that were in Palestine. Now, I want to tell you something else. He is no longer in just Palestine. And I want to tell you, he is any longer just walking with 11 disciples. Today he is walking with his church, the bride, the body of Christ. And he is walking with servants and handmaidens. He's walking with those that have been called and chosen. And he's telling us, do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your God. Can you say amen? He is the God that knows your tomorrow. No matter what you think or you feel, you can go this afternoon and turn on sometimes those silly news channels all over the place. And you can go to podcasts and you can do everything. And everybody's got an opinion of this and that and this and that. I can tell you one thing. He who is Lord and God of this universe, my friend, is still in control of it all. And when it's all over in Revelation 19, and somehow the Bible says, can you imagine this? I mean, think about this in the 19th chapter of Revelation. Think about when all of a sudden the armies of the world have gathered. And they have gathered literally. And the Bible says that they are now there to make war against him who sits on the white horse in the heavens. Do you have any idea who they are going to make war against? And they began to want war against he that is in the heavens. And I want you also to understand, I think it's very possible that you and I are going to be on horses in the host of heaven, and we're going to be coming after the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. God's already got special duct tape for me to keep me on my horse, and I'm coming. But it's amazing. And the Bible says that this massive amount of armies, plural, from the world that have gathered in Megiddo, and they've gathered to make war with the beast and with the false prophet against the Son of the living God. Here's what I want you to know. If there's an identity crisis, and they can't really figure out, is this just an alien? Is this just some sort of, who can this be coming? What galaxy or solar system is he coming from? And they're trying to figure out, who is this? I want to tell you who it is. The Bible says he's going to come with eyes ablaze and hair is white. And the Bible says, and catch this, that upon his vesture that's been dipped in blood, there's a name that's been written. Are you ready? There's a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Take it to the bank. When God named his son and called his name Jesus, you will call his name Jesus. It was an angel that said that to Mary. Again, an angelic visitation said it to Joseph. You will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin. If you go on in time, ultimately several millennia, when Jesus, that name, that Lord, that God, our Savior, when he comes on that white horse, friend, he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So do we have to fear this morning? Who do we have to be afraid of? I'm not sure. I'm not sure of any. Amen? So I'm reading this. And I'm thinking again that he's been given an exalted name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name. God gave him a name, which is above every name. Church, hear me this morning. There is no other name that you can try to take and figure out that's higher than that name. And for me personally, if I am dealing with things in my body, or if I'm dealing with something in my mind, if I'm dealing with a circumstantial thing around me, if I'm dealing with something that is fearful or something that's full of anxiety, or I just can't put the pieces together, there is nothing I can call those things that is more powerful than that name, the name of Jesus. And so don't you understand that train master the day when he was thinking in his mind, yeah, right, you're going to make me turn all these trains and change them all up and bring that stupid briefcase of yours back here? And then the man said, but inside it is a recording that has to go on the air tomorrow for all of Britain to the BBC. It jolted the man because he recognized the authority behind British Broadcasting Company. Forgive me allowing myself to be redundant, but I want you to understand that men move when Jesus is there. Things change when Jesus is there. Lives are no longer the same when Jesus shows up. I believe that, don't you? Nothing is more powerful. When I stand in His presence, and you stand in His presence, what name do you think is going to be the most precious name to hear? I think it'll be the name of Jesus. I can think of some natural names I want to hear, family names, those that have gone on before me. I want to hear those names. I want to hear that they're coming around the lake over there or coming down. They're almost to me through the gardens. But those are not the names I want to hear first. I want to hear the name of Jesus. You know, I didn't realize it until today when we were singing. We're going to sing this again at the end of the service. But Shane had put our last song, Jesus. Give me a quick somehow to start that song. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. You know what? Years ago, I was made fun of because people in my church caught me that I was singing it this way. What a beautiful... What a beautiful day it is. Or something. I was crazy. And people are like looking at me, like, Pastor, how long have you been singing this song? What a beautiful day it is. It's a beautiful name it is. And I thought, Shane, I've been had. I didn't pay attention. I should have been thinking, it's a beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Because it is. There is no other name under heaven that a man can be saved. Are you listening to me? No matter what church you attend, no matter what religion you kind of hold on to, none of that equals this. There is no other name under heaven that you can be saved but the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And where does your name go? It goes into His book of life. And where will you spend eternity? You will spend eternity in He who has made mansions just for you. So I need to take this just a little further. I was thinking in my office and just considering, and my office at home, and I just was thinking about all of this. And if you don't mind, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, sometimes there's a few things in life that kind of grab you and stay with you for a long time. This is one of these things. In one of my books, I have this short story. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 1. May I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12? Are you there? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless means, but yet, this is not, it's still not as great as this. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. A devotional writer, Samuel Gordon, knew of a lady. This is a true story. And this lady memorized much of the Bible. At old age, as it was setting in, her memory began to leave her. And at last, she could only remember portions of this verse. And I hope you can all see this back there. I'm not sure. Shane, can we scoot it out just a little bit more? Hey, let's put it on the other side. There we go. So this little lady began to lose her memory. And she had memorized huge, massive amounts of the Bible, literally. True story. And as time went on and things began to set into her body, she began to lose portions of the scripture. And she began to lose books that she had memorized. And passages that meant everything was so dear to her. Finally, the day came that all she could memorize, or all that she could remember. So let's just go back over this. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him to that day. And what happened was she began to lose portion after portion. Finally, this last scripture that she in 1 Timothy 1:12 had memorized, now it's like it was going too. And this is all she could remember from the Bible. For all of those years. And all that she could remember was what I have committed to him. And this has really touched my heart through the years because I think about what I have committed unto him. When I think about him, I'm thinking about Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus is Savior. Christ is the Anointed One, the Messiah. And what she had memorized everything, and it finally came down to this scripture, and then she lost this scripture, except six words. What I have committed to Him. And I start thinking about how amazing that is, because what in life would else do you want? I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, what else do you want? You want literally to know that what you've committed to him is going to stand. And what you have committed to him is going to be kept. And he and you, the committing between you, there isn't anything greater than Jesus being committed to your life. Isn't that true? And so she discovered that I only have six words left of the Bible. And I don't know where to go from here. And then all of a sudden, she began to lose this last little bit. And the day came that she was on her deathbed. And her family gathered, and they were with her. And they were sitting in the room, and they're looking at her. They're comforting, trying to make sure everything is okay, and she's comfortable. And finally, they noticed that as she's laying on her pillow, that they could see her mouth. I won't talk, but they could see her mouth. And they couldn't hear any words coming out, but they could see her lips. And so one of them went over, and they got as close as they could. Excuse me, I wasn't supposed to do that. And as they bent down, this is what they heard. Him. 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 I believe the Holy Spirit was involved. That when it all push comes to shove, everything pivoted on that word right there. And that's the last word of memory she could remember, was him. I think the last word that we should ever try to remember is him. And who is him? It is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men where I can be saved. The most powerful name on this planet. And when she had gone through the entire Bible, I don't think it was the whole Bible, but there were huge portions that she had memorized. What I had read was large portions of the Bible, much of it. To think that it finally come down to one word and that's all. I mean, God could have let her remember any word. Israel, Moses, Peter, you know what? Could have remembered several words. You know what? Jerusalem and all types of things. But God wanted her to have one last word. And that's the word that was left, was him. So with this thought in mind, let me bring this to you. I have to take you to Acts chapter 4. I really would appreciate it if you would, don't leave me. Shane, take that right there and push that way for me. Acts chapter 4. Keep going. Whoop, stop. No, back an inch. No, you're fine. Right there is good. Please, would you look at this with me, John, in Acts chapter 4. There had been an amazing miracle that had taken place, of course. A man that had sat at the gate beautiful, just probably his most adult life. Peter and John, at the hour of prayer, were on their way, and as they were on their way to the temple, the man was asking alms, and Peter fastened his eyes. Remember the story? And he fastened his eyes upon the man, and he said, "Silver and gold I have none. But what we have we'll give you. Would you like this? Silver and gold we have none, but such as I have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of him that all of the Bible, all of the life, all of eternity, all of salvation, everything hinges upon him." Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Remember that in the book? You remember? Now go with me in chapter 4. It says, "And that they spake to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." Isn't that amazing how religiosity is grieved over the name of Jesus? Well, they should be, because Jesus will change their life. Verse 3, "And laid their hands on them and put them in hold to the next day, for it was now eventide. However, many of those which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I'd like to present to you that in chapter 2 of Acts, There were at least 3,000 saved. And now in chapter 4, there were now another 5,000 men, and it doesn't mention their families. That's an amazing amount of people that were saved. Why? Because of a miracle just outside of the Gate Beautiful. Jesus, his name showed up. The authority of all heaven. You take my name, and that's the key to it all. And now there's another 5,000 that are saved in this. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and scribes, and Annas, high priest, Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, and many that were of the kindred high priests were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name? Listen to this, verse 7. By what power? Or by what name have you done this? Synonymous with his name is power. Synonymous with power is the name, Jesus. Church, when you speak that name, power shows up. Authority shows up. Do you understand that? When you and I need authority and we need power and we desperately need help right now, if we're hanging on the last limb of the tree, what do? When you need instant power and help, what do? You speak what is synonymous. It's the name of Jesus. Man, there ought to be some amens in this place. Where are you? Amen. What are you doing out there? Verse 7, and when he had sat in the midst, they sat him in the midst, they asked Peter and John, by what power and by what name have you done this? I love verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, you were elders even of Israel, if you this day examine the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto all and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So what's the answer? It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wow. Verse 12. And he not only tells them how this man was set free and delivered and healed, but verse 12, he gives another answer. He's now wanting to declare that for their soul and for the world's answer for their souls. He says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Wow. Verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been to Bible college. And they marveled at them. How many knew I made a mistake? How many knew that? And they marveled at them and they took knowledge of them because they had been with Jesus. You know, I took you out of Philippians, and I didn't read this and stay on this passage, but I want to quote it to you. When the Bible says, and Paul said this, he said that there is no other name under heaven that a man can be saved, and he says that there is the most powerful name is the name of Jesus. Here's what he says. He says, every knee is going to bow. Say knee. Every knee is going to bow. You got a knee? Go ahead, move a little bit. Got a knee? Show me. Got it?
Got it.
Oh, come on. Do it. Every knee?
Every knee.
Come on. I know what you're thinking. I won't bend my knee for anybody. Go ahead. Do it. Bend it. Scripturally, if you won't bend it for me or anybody, you one day will bend your knee. The Bible says, Paul said, that every knee is going to bow. Do you know that? Every knee. That is incredible. We're not talking about 21st century stuff alone. We're going back, retrospect, in the millennia. We're going to future until Christ comes and it's over. Every knee is going to bow. You know, our knees bowing are really connected to our hearts loving and our minds saying, I'll obey. And a lot of times, I just want to tell you, we have to do these things. We have to say, Lord, I know better. And the reason that I am rebellious in my heart, or the reason that I've gotten cold and callous, or the reason that I'm not seeking you, or the reason that I've backed away is because I'll not bend my knee and humble myself before you. Two knees on the ground before anybody is a sign of humility. And one day, humility is going to come. Don't wait until that day. Please catch this. Every knee will bow of those upon earth. The Bible says, every knee in heaven and every knee under the earth. And I started thinking about that. Lord, how does that work? I mean, I understand what John and Peter are saying to the Sanhedrin. They're saying, listen, you want to know where our power source was and where our authority was given? It is the name of Jesus. Amen. But Paul says, let me tell you one more thing. He says, in all places of God's creation, earth, heaven, and below the earth, every point, all creatures are going to bow their knee to Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of all. Wow. So on earth, we can go through this life and we can just pretend like we kind of like Jesus and never bow our knee and submit to the King of Glory and call Him who He is, Jesus, Lord of all. But I'm telling you, now is a great place to get on with it and get it done. Amen?
Amen.
May I talk about heaven just for a minute? Think about heaven. Go with me. Think about the myriads and the myriads of angels in the heavens. They will bow and they bow their knees already to the Lord. Think about the hosts of heaven that are kind of, we understand, as the armies of the Lord. He uses them how He wants to. Think about the powerful angels would you like to preach a sermon for me, please? Help me out. Michael and Gabriel and these powerful angelic angels, even in their power, they bow before God. Yes. And in Revelation 4 and 5, when you begin to see the hosts of heavens, and you see these wonderful places fill up, and the hosts, we sang about it, one of my favorite parts is that the hosts of heaven, when they begin to, how's that part go? The heavens are roaring. Say the heavens are roaring. The heavens are roaring. Do you know why? Because they have bowed their knee, their heart to the King of Glory. Man, every time I think of the heavens are roaring, I see everywhere, every place in heaven is full of created beings, of angels and seraphs and wonderful things that God has made. Those that cry, holy, holy, holy. But the day could come very likely that we're all on the same melody line. And we begin to in heaven to sing that Jesus is truly Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Let me tell you this about Lord. Jesus says the day will come when some will say, oh, but we called you Lord. Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name and we preached and prophesied in your name and we paid tithe. We did it. And Jesus will say, get behind me. Don't call me Lord anymore because you didn't treat me as Lord. That's a dangerous place. How many know that? And the third place, the Bible says, they will bow the knee on the earth, in the heavens, to the name of Jesus. And get a load of this, that under the earth, they're going to bow their knee to Jesus. Is that not incredible? And I'm thinking it's possible that the day that that happens, that that is probably going to be just a little bit more of a to the eternal pain and the agony that men are going to, and even created beings are going to have to put up with. You say, Pastor, what kind of sermon is this? I'll tell you what it is. Get a hold of the name of Jesus and everything is fine. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Turn your heart to him and walk after his ways. Amen?
Amen.
Because one day, the entire earth is going to have to bow their knee. Now, I don't know where the Antichrist is at this point, but he has to bow his knee too. Kings, athletes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what acronym explains who you are and what you are trying to walk in. If you do not have your knee bowed to Jesus, that's eternal loss. And I challenge you, run after God. Amen?
Amen?
Would you bow your heads with me? Would you close your Bibles? Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to bring that song back, but keep your heads closed. Excuse me, your eyes closed. Keep your heads bowed just for a minute, please, just for a minute. Some years ago, I came across this. I want you to hear this, and then we're going to sing. There is more to your life than you have ever thought. There is more to your story than you've ever read. There is more to your song than you have ever sung. A good author saves the best for last. A good composer keeps his finest for the finished. And God, the author of life and composer of hope, has done the same for us. The best is yet to be. And I urge you, don't give up. And so I plead, finish the journey. So I exhort, be there. Be there, be there. When God whispers this, he whispers your name. Even though this morning I preached completely and solely on the name of Jesus, its power, its authority, its loveliness, you and I have a name too. And I'm saying to us, be sure that your name is there. My name is Lynn. I want my name to be there. You can name your children. We could go down the roll of our church. We want our names to be there. Praise God. Hey, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to sing this song again because it moves me to truth of Jesus. And it should move me to also to be willing. And I'm going to say this to you. If you need to get things right with God, get them right as you sing this song. If you need to humble yourself, humble. If you need to confess anything, confess. If you are not a believer, here's where it begins. It begins with the name of Jesus. Let's surrender at this song because of our God. Can we do that?
Yep.
I think we ought to stand. So Shane and Sharon, I'll let you lead it.
With God alone, Most High. Amen. of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares with this. What a beautiful name it is. Name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. We have several in our house that are willing for interpretation. Listen to the voice of God. Be willing. Let's just wait. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
I am the Lord your God, and I am here and present with you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Yes.
And those who run into it will be saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.